Where do you go when you want to have a good time? I hear a voice calling my name, reaching out. It's Patsy! It's Patsy! I really want to be your friend. Hope this day will never end. It's Patsy! It's Patsy! I really want to be a friend of you, which is great because we get all the Patsy we've ever wanted tonight on the Jessica Jones After Show.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, not only is it Patsy, it's Christian, it's April,
and it's Adam.
Hello!
And we're here to talk about episode 2 of season 3 of Jessica Jones, and I'm going to speak for myself, because I would never presume to speak for either of you. Sort of everything I wanted was Patsy, and more Patsy. Mm-hmm. Love Jessica, but I needed some Patsy, and I think this answered most, if not all, of our Patsy questions.
Oh, you got your Patsy?
Yeah, I've got her now. April, to start, you looked up something very interesting about behind the scenes on this episode, which I didn't realize. I guess if I'd been paying attention during the credits, maybe I would have. But tell us.
Kristen Ritter actually directed this. This is her directorial debut, which makes sense because she's hardly in it.
Yeah, I think that, I'm always impressed when you hear about actors who direct things that they're in a lot. Like Bill Hader directing multiple episodes of Barry. It was complicated, and I'm just like, I don't know how you do it. So this seems like, especially for her first time, and I don't know, I thought she did a good job. What did you think, Adam, of our Patsy story?
Well, this has also kind of become a hallmark of the Netflix Marvel shows, that you will do these departure episodes. Usually they happen a little further on into the season, like the Karen Page episode of Daredevil season 3, was it?
Yep. Yes, featuring Party Karen, my favorite Karen.
Yeah, which was great. I love him, but we needed this because we had a lot of questions about where Trish was, what we were assuming, and it answered everything, even what was on the text from Mom.
It's true.
We were just talking about, like, how long could she have been missing for? And we were, like, kind of joking that it was, like, a text from Mom, where are you? You haven't called me. And it was, like, she missed 2 shows. Like, she missed 2 days of work.
Yeah, and she really just hadn't heard from her in a day. So it makes a little bit more sense, because when we talked about it in our previous episode, it was just like, all right, maybe she didn't want to talk to you. But no, she missed work. And you know, home shopping work, that's that pays well.
I've actually done a couple of those before. I was doing them for a candy company, and I would fly down to, I think it was Home Shopping Network in Tampa, and it is the weirdest thing in the world, because those celebrities that you see, like Emeril Lagasse, like I think one of the Williams sisters, like, they're really just walking around the hallways, like, they're doing live shows at all time. It is completely surreal to sell hot merch.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's wild. Like Joan Rivers at the time she was alive, just like popping down the hallway.
April, what did you think about our Trish/Patsy-centric episode?
Well, last season and the first episode of this season, I felt really disconnected from her character, just like what was going through her head. And I think this did a great job of bringing us back into what's going on in her head.
Yeah, I think we pick up from that moment from the end of season 2 when she balances the phone. And I think it's sort of very funny attempt to recreate it, and she smashes her phone, you know, so it's like I like these sequences that you get, you know, when people are figuring out how to use their powers. A lot of you know Adam from DC Movie News. Shazam had a great sequence.
He's
just trying to figure it all out, like, what can you do, what can you not do? And the interesting thing, and this is really the theme of Trish for this episode, is that she's alone. So when she figures out that she does indeed have powers, of course who she wants to call is Jessica, and she knows, I can't call Jessica, and I never really had anybody else. I'm not going to talk to my mom about this. So I think they did a great job balancing, you know, her being so excited about finally being able to do this, and just how empty she still felt, you know? I don't know. What did you think about that balance, Adam?
Well, you know, while I was watching the fantastic Ninja Warrior training sequence, I thought, what else does she want? This kid's been famous since she was a kid.
Yeah, sure.
And everybody knows her, and now she wants to be a superhero, too. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, duh. All that other stuff leaves her incredibly empty and vapid. She has no way of defining herself. Even, and you could tell this whole you know, it's Patsy stuff, beautifully rendered, by the way, at the top of the show.
You know, I just wanted to do a dramatic reading. I thought that the composer of that theme song deserved better.
It allowed us to home in.
Thank you.
You realize that she'd been doing everything for her mother.
Yes.
So she has no identity. And now she's trying to take Jessica's identity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even when she starts to experiment with this, she just feels so alone. What is going to fill that emptiness inside of me? Is it going to be hooking up with my boxing trainer? You know?
That helped.
That definitely helped.
For a minute.
For a hot second.
And then there's the, oh, you're still here. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yes. I do like, I will tell you one thing that we're seeing emerging, and I'm liking Hellcat's fighting style. We're seeing a lot of these interesting mm-hmm. off-the-wall kind of moves, which we haven't seen a ton of before. Like, when she was training, there was one where she kind of kicked her legs up and kind of like cartwheeled her feet up off the wall. It was like really wild. Mm-hmm. So definitely she's getting a lot of yoga in there as well, I can tell. We also saw, you predicted this, that we were going to see the comic book accurate mm-hmm. costume, but in the way we saw it in Luke Cage, in the way we saw Jessica Jones' version of it, where it was just kind of like hinted at, but yeah, we're not going to go there.
Right, and I should have predicted, I should have written out, you know, and you know, mailed it to myself with the postmark to prove that I said it beforehand. Oh, hell no. You know, basically, is what she said.
Considering that we had about 48 minutes between taping the first episode and the second episode, the Postal Service would have had been working like optimally.
I guess I could have done it in the digital age and just had an email timestamp. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like that. And by the way, that purple mask costume she had on looked very familiar, like it's another character's costume. And I hope to be able to have more insight on that for the next episode. It's very hard to watch the show, do the show, and then also do the research. Usually there's a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. But let us know in the comments if you recognize that costume.
Oh, which one? When she was trying on stuff?
She had like a purple mask, and it was like almost like a kimono. It looked really familiar mm-hmm. to me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't think that's not a...
It was an Easter egg.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. And maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that was something else.
What was... Easter. Oh, you know, one thing we didn't talk about in the first episode, I just wanted to mention that we got that Captain America shout out like right away.
Yeah, you know what, you're right. I do. I thought that was great. Yeah, Captain America wouldn't do this.
Right, we always get that one thing to let you know, oh yeah, that's in this world too.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Let's not ask why, you know, Doctor Strange didn't open a portal for any of the Defenders to come out of. Let's not worry about that.
Yeah, that's not worry about.
But yeah, exactly. I do always like things that that tie it to the you know, to the cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because, you know, we've had sequences like this, and, you know, look, I referenced the one in Shazam, his best friend's there the whole time. Mm-hmm. She's trying to figure it out by herself to the extent that she looks up on the internet how to fight crime in NYC. And personally, I love product placement because it helps pay for our shows. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that takes me more out of a scene than when someone bings something.
Yes, exactly.
Instead of Google. Because it's like, yeah, let me bing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sure. Trish is really going to bing that. But I did think it was funny that that's what you typed in. Because it's like, yeah, let me figure out how to fight crime
in NYC. The big concern with Google is that they're doing the most monitoring of your personal... True. Life, right? Mm-hmm. Preferences, all that. So if I was embarking on a new secret identity, I might endeavor to start binging instead of Googling things.
And if Bing would like to sponsor this show, please get in touch over here at AfterBuzz TV, and we'll be sure to let you know. What did you think, April, of the sort of the juxtaposition of, wow, this is awesome, I have powers, I'm appreciating it under a bridge by myself?
Yeah, she's come a long way, but in a bad way. Yeah. Like, she's lost everybody and everything, and she's really going for this because this truly is all she has. And I feel bad for her because she so clearly wants to talk to Jessica about this and work with her, but she just can't with what happened.
I like the exchange with her trainer earlier in the episode where he's like, steroids, you juicing? And she's just like,
cheating on me? You're cheating with someone else.
Kale.
Yeah.
Kale was her answer. Like, kale's going to help you fight. I thought it was a lot of fun, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's some great insight into her headspace, really, where she's at.
I got to say, her apartment, which she had, which is, I guess, her new pad that she got, she sold her fancy apartment. She's got this sort of, like, open, like, studio. split-level thing. And her mom, Rebecca De Mornay's character, was really crapping on it. But I was like, man, if you had that place in New York, it's like a playground.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She had, like, her own CrossFit gym in that place. It was seriously set up.
Yeah, and, you know, her mom, Dorothy, offers some career options for her, pointing out that Patsy residuals aren't going to pay her mortgage, is what she says. She mentions one that I think we all agreed she would have been great at. Celebrity
President?
Ultimately, yes, but celebrity dance show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, with her new abilities, how could she not win?
No, she'd
crush
it. She'd be totally crushed that.
And then the sort of throwaway, a clothing company in Tampa wants you to represent their brand, and then, running for president.
The clothing company was in Tampa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's funny, because that's where Home Shopping Network is.
Yeah, when you said that, I'm like, oh, that's a nice little...
There's not much else in Tampa.
Yeah, I've been there.
There's some strip clubs. There's a great steak place.
There's inexplicably a Salvador Dali museum there.
Yeah.
So you see, hey, this segment of the show is sponsored by the Tampa Bay Travel. What do you call that?
The Tourism Board. Yeah. Yes.
It would have sounded better if I could have remembered Board of Tourism. Anyway. So bing that while you're at home. I thought her banter with her mom is funny, I think we still don't like her mom.
Agreed. Right?
No. Yeah, that's she in her own way she thinks she's doing right by her daughter, but she's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But she's trying to help her, you know?
Yeah, the thing with the mom is I don't think mom's evil. I just think mom's ill-intentioned. She's selfish.
Yeah.
But she's not evil, I don't think, you know? I think there is still... She still loves her daughter in there. She's just very selfish. We know that because when she does take the job working for the Home Shopping sort of analogous, she talks about... What are you drinking for your energy? That's not vitamin water.
Yeah.
Where are your Skittles? These things on the rider. The rider is like the things that you need to request that they need to have backstage for you. Van Halen, green M&Ms. And they're all things for her. She's like, I like Skittles. Uh-huh. I like vitamin water.
Right. No, exactly. It's like, yeah, well, you don't care about these things, but I do. Mm-hmm. You know? And, of course... Definitely off on a tangent here, but the green M&Ms and the Van Halen contract was only there because they wanted to make sure that people actually read the rider.
Read the rider.
So if they walked in and there weren't just green M&Ms, they're like, uh-oh, everything's going to be a mess for the show tonight. So it's fascinating,
I love that.
Actually.
So, I do love that.
And I feel like Patsy's mom, Dorothy, would be like, only green Skittles, just because maybe they're the only ones she likes.
Oh, God.
Red's the way to go.
You know what? I'm inclined to agree. I think green might be my least favorite Skittle. Yeah. And Starburst. Let us know in the chat. What are your favorites?
Yeah, because guys, Skittles actually do taste different, unlike M&M's, which all taste the same, pretty much.
Adam had a great question while we were watching it. We were all watching episode 2 together. You were impressed that her earbuds stayed in while she was doing all that fancy running.
Yeah, so we have the sort of tropey thing where our character now wants to fight crime. She's got the police scanner. She's figuring out, all right, what crime do I fight? And she sees like underage drinking. She sees guys fighting on the street, but it turns out they're just play fighting.
Pissing on Priuses.
Urinating on Priuses was the thing. So she's like doing that thing where like, all right, like, you know, now I gotta go fight crime. She eventually, eventually runs to a scene. When she gets there, the police have it under control, but I did notice her earbuds stayed in. I haven't had those kind of buds, so please let us know if those things actually stay in. I have sport ones for that specific reason.
For when you fight crime?
For when I fight crime, yeah. Okay. And you don't want to stop listening to like an AfterBuzz podcast or something like that. I'm like, I want to do both.
I mean, the AfterBuzz theme actually helps you kind of set the tone and you know, really choreograph
totally my workout
fighting.
Music.
Yeah. I mean, as well it should be. There's also kind of a fun moment where she sees Jessica on the street and calls her and watches her not answer.
That's fun.
For me, I was just like, oh no, that's what an awful feeling that must be. I'm like, I can see that you're not busy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She eventually does. She does get a crime to stop, by the way.
Yes. Oh, right.
A stolen cell phone.
Yes.
Which kind of leads into a pretty important plot point later. So she stops a cell phone. So guy screams on the street.
Hey, that guy stole my cell phone.
So she just takes this guy down, Very funny stuff. She starts getting recognized.
I thought that was great. Like, mm-hmm. Patsy, no!
And so both the guy that lost the phone and the guy that stole the phone both, hey, Patsy, yeah. Patsy. So this is how she realizes, oh, I have to cover my face. I have mm-hmm. to get my, and then, which leads us into our costume montage we alluded to earlier.
Right. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I'm like, oh, she's recognizable. Oh, she's a celebrity. I'm like, this guy's going to sue her.
Right. You know, right. And they play that to great effect when later she's working out. And then we have a woman recognize her again. So that was really cleverly done because we've seen it happen.
Yeah.
She's like, yes, I'm Trish Walker. Yes. And then they get the old.
You've been served. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as the guy who stole the phone was like, you're Patsy. And he goes, my neck hurts. And I'm like, there it is.
Yeah, right, exactly. and then, of course, if you're going to possibly face that kind of legal action, whose office would you go to other than the most expensive attorney in the city?
Of course, yeah, it's the only option. Jerry Hogarth. You go to Jerry Hogarth.
Who I think doesn't do a friends and family discount of any kind.
No, she told her to liquidate her assets.
Before a judge does, yeah.
And she. You guys told me it was like, did she tell her an approximate number of what she thought it would cost to pay this guy off?
She said she expected it to be mid six figures, I think she said.
Ooh.
Yeah, so okay. She thought it was going to be pretty high. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, which leads us into reintroducing. Now, this is interesting because most of this episode happens either concurrently or before the actions of the first episode.
Correct, yeah.
So we see Malcolm in his very much like, you know, Sith like garb, right? Like he's wearing all black, you know, he's like being corrupted, his soul, and he's doing one of his fixer things, and he's the one who pays a visit to the mugger.
Yeah.
And to get to pay him off. And what he does is he plays really dirty pool and mm-hmm. finds out that his kid is not actually his kid, and he threatens to mess up his kid's life if he doesn't take a lower payment.
Yeah, I figured it was going to be, you know, he's going to find out that he was like cheating on his wife mm-hmm. or maybe, you know, something, you know, he didn't file taxes or, you know. I thought that was, first of all, one, very effective, but mm-hmm. Very dark by Malcolm. What did you think about that, April?
He's going to the dark side. Yeah. I think you were definitely right on your presumption.
Yeah. I'm watching, and in the last episode I said that I didn't think Malcolm would be long for this world, and now I'm kind of just trying to watch that thread. Like, clearly this character is headed for bad things. Mm-hmm. And the reason I said he wouldn't be long for this world is because usually you see a character have an opportunity to redeem themselves, because I don't believe Malcolm is inherently bad, mm-hmm. but a lot of times they have to pay a price for that redemption.
No, but also that exchange with Trish happening, you know, earlier than episode one means that it's very much on his mind mm-hmm. when he's when he's putting a drunk driver back on the road. So, yes. You know, it's, mm-hmm. I think that they're definitely interconnected, you know, and he even mentions that he felt so good about, like, oh, I got him with this thing, and he put his kid on the phone, and he explains to Trish, she's like, well, what if he hadn't given in? It's like, well, I would have told his kid everything.
Yeah.
He was so nonchalant about it. He's like,
There was also another crime that Trish successfully stopped. This one here. Do you want to talk about that at all, or
I'm trying to remember which one that was. So,
roofie.
So the roofie guy, yeah, who we'll admit, all three of us thought that was a baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
Just they cast way too similar of a type to that actor.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we already got a baseball guy, but we got something else for you.
Yeah,
you know, I bet that guy read for that part.
Yeah,
100%. I 100%
agree. All right, yeah. So she's you know, she gets. We don't quite understand how she ends up with all those files, by the way. She trips the guy, which I thought was funny, right after Malcolm says, you hurt more people than you help. In an attempt to help people, she literally hurts someone by tripping them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, not completely lost on Patsy. Yeah.
So steals some of his files, allows her to kind of, like, I guess, reach out for this guy who is a repeated sex offender.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she scopes him out.
Yeah, exactly. And then she sees, you know, she's like going to watch him for a while, but then sees him put a roofie in her drink. So yes, an actual crime in progress. What do you think? And by the way, she calls Jessica for advice on what do I do in this situation? You know, which by the way, Jessica's advice probably would have been, you know, oh yeah, well, kick his ass.
Or, yeah, yeah, kick him in the nuts.
Yeah. So she probably didn't need the advice there, but she felt like she did. What did you think about watching that sequence unfold, Adam?
I thought that was a little bit of a clumsy scene, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very heavy-handed, right? Like, he gives her the roofies, he takes her around the corner to rape her outside. I felt was like, it was just, listen, it strained credulity to me, like, especially if this guy's a serious, they made it seem like this was his spot that he goes to, mm-hmm. but I mean, like, I don't know, it seems sloppy.
I guess they needed to be, they needed to basically choreograph it where he was standing somewhere that he could get kicked without her getting hurt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if it just happened earlier, like when he's got her up against the fence and, you know, he's telling her, you know, like, all right, well, you know, we can keep each other warm, and mm-hmm. that would be the time. But I guess maybe just for the sake of also making it very clear what's happening and, like, see, you're you know, actually stopping a crime here. It was a little clumsy, you know, but in terms of the storytelling, good for Trish. And I thought it was interesting that she let the girl, April, think that, oh, yeah, but you totally kicked his ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause she's like, wait, I don't want
to get we're starting to see her starting to sketch out the bones of who she's going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe these are the kinds of crimes that I can help with. Maybe she's going to, like, you know, look out for people that can't protect themselves in difficult situations, and that's how she's going to separate herself from the superhero pack. Because, you know, like, in New York City, there's a lot of superheroes there. You really got to carve out a niche.
This was also the first time she was, like, successful without hurting anyone else or doing more damage.
Well, you know what? She learned from that first time. She's like, I'm not even going to take the credit for this.
Right.
Yeah. You did it.
Yeah, she's like, I need the mask. Yeah, that's what I was getting at, is that she's like, yeah, you did this. I didn't have anything to do with it. So I just happened to be watching Don't Ask Why I Have a Mask On, and I sound like it's Patsy or Trish Talk.
And then we also hear that her sweater selling job, her shopping TV job, has a crappy time slot because it works with her new job. So this is now her alter ego.
Yeah.
Her and it's so the diametric opposite of who she is in her nighttime job now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's this vapid person. But even in that, there was a woman who called up and was buying all these sweaters. Yeah. She still found a way to slip in from her old radio advice show.
Mm-hmm. And I like that her mom speaks to the director or stage manager, whatever, whoever that person was, and was like, no, let her do this, because she's actually really good at that.
Mm-hmm. So remind me, April or Christian, why did she lose her radio show last year? Did she, like, walk off?
She quit.
Oh, she did. She quit it. Okay.
Yeah, so,
I thought it was a good callback to, like, she had an advice show, and she managed to use those skills to sell another sweater. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a win-win. And, it's a great cover. It makes her continue to look like a vapid kind of has-been celebrity who's now just selling
right.
sweaters. And would never suspect that she's, like, going around vigilantizing.
The woman who's selling sweaters.
Yeah.
Isn't crime-frightening.
It's
at
her
night.
Bruce Wayne. It's like her billionaire playboy.
It's like, no, it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would Patsy be fighting crime? No, you're crazy. You know, which I guess if she'd gone to court, maybe she could have gotten it tossed just based on that. Like, yeah, I don't know why they think I'm, you know, I did this. Look at me. Why? Who am I going to kick? I'm a celebrity.
Yeah.
I did want to backtrack to a moment Malcolm and Trish, because obviously they have their history from last season. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that she told Malcolm that she's the one who killed Jessica's mother. And I thought maybe it's just more of her feeling so alone. And, you know, because Malcolm and both Dorothy have referenced in these two episodes that, like, well, yeah, that's why Jessica had to kill her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, no, actually, I did it. And I think it's interesting because that's, I don't know, I mean, it's someone who knows Jessica really well, and I think maybe she feels like maybe you can understand the situation better, but I'm wondering, April, what do you think that was for Trish telling him that that's what she did?
I think she needed to get it off her chest, yeah, as well as just trying to reconnect and reform some sort of bond with him, because yeah, they've really grown apart, but he was not having it at all.
Yeah. How do you think you would have responded if you were Malcolm, Adam, in that moment, and she's just like, oh, by the way, I killed her mom.
Yeah, that is a major, major reveal, because now you're like, when you look at somebody, you feel like they've taken a life with a gun. It totally, you know, Malcolm probably did not think that Patsy, that Trish, had that in her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's the beginning of that. It's just very interesting. These are clearly seeds that are being planted that over the next few episodes are going to unfold. And it's going to be interesting to see as Hellcat comes into her own, where she falls versus Jessica, right? Because Hellcat right now wants to be aligned with Jessica, mm-hmm, but you know that's not going to work out. And then where does Malcolm fit into this? And then who is the sort of villain of this season, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do we have any idea? Like, yeah, I know there's going to be conflict with Trish.
Yes.
But, you know, I feel like there's something with Hogarth's story, and the woman that Hogarth gets to know who's very rich, always be wary of the very wealthy people, and how they're going to play into the story.
Very true. Well, if you've seen the trailer for the season, you know who it's going to be.
Oh,
I didn't see it.
Oh, well, then I'm not... Well, I wasn't going to say it anyway.
Oh, I don't know.
There's a name that is clearly said, and if you look up who the name is, there's a...
Oh, yes, I think I know who you're talking, yes, about. No, is this the person that we think stabbed Jessica?
The person from the trailer is who I think stabbed her, yes.
Okay.
From the trailer for the series, because it would make sense. But for those people who haven't watched it yet, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
I'm in the dark.
Yeah.
We're
good, though. I always get so excited to see trailers and things like that, and then when I'm actually watching the show, I'm like, oh, I kind of remember this thing.
I've been really scaling back on it, because it's so much better when you let it unfold on screen.
I know. I wish I could do it more often.
I have not seen a trailer for this season of Jessica Jones. Were they promoting it less because that we know that this is like the end of Marvel Netflix?
Yes, definitely. But I mean, you know, it doesn't cost anything to tweet out a link on YouTube, so they did a little bit of promotion.
They still want the show to do well. It's still got to perform well for them. But it seemed like there were fewer billboards for like a Marvel property on Netflix. It seemed scaled back.
It was definitely, I agree. It was definitely scaled back. In Trish basically kind of really trying to reconnect with Jessica, we see her go to Jessica's apartment, and she sees the neighbor, Oscar, from last season, a.k.a. Vito's dad, mm-hmm, you know, kind of having this conversation with her, which is something that I don't think we talked about on the show for episode one, but we all spoke about it beforehand, you know, trying to remember, like, okay, so what happened with her and the neighbor guy? And I was like, I think it ended on good terms. But then, of course, Jessica being Jessica, as we see, there really are no good terms. Mm-hmm. April, do you feel like that addressed, you know, one of those lingering questions we had from season two by actually, you know, having her interact with him?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's typical Jessica fashion to push anyone away that she starts to form a relationship with. But I'm glad that she's still so attached to Vito.
Yeah, I think I do like that. I think that's a good dynamic for her.
The question I have is, what became of Burger Boy?
Yeah, because Burger Boy was left
behind. You want that recipe. How does it taste?
Listen, as someone that cooks professionally, a lot of my time I make sausages and hot dogs for doghouse restaurants, if you don't know. That's often the only move I can have when talking to women is I'll go to the food thing. Mm-hmm. So I can totally relate to that guy. You know, I'm like... you know, I'll make you a great burger.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Jessica was into it.
I'll take you home and make you a hot dog.
Well, yes. Oh, believe me. Believe me, I've had many such conversations. When you tell people that you make sausage for a living, you just let them do the talking. You don't need to go there.
And we'll see in upcoming episodes. My thought when that happened, you know, because of the timing of it, I'm like, is this guy who gets back to her apartment, like, in cahoots with whoever stabbed her, you know? So I don't trust Burger Boy. So,
you don't trust Burger Boy?
I know. I love burgers, too. That's not a problem.
I feel like Burger Boy was just like kind of like a red herring, kind of like just to get the action started. Yeah. I don't know if he'll be back, but
I was kind of expecting him to like step out when she was stabbed and like you realize that they were working together, but no, he just wanted to make her a burger.
Yeah, hey, look, sometimes a burger's just a burger.
Meanwhile, for said that. P.I., yeah, she expected it to be the kid, but not even to, like, who is it, get a voice, look out the door.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of irresponsible of Jessica. She kind of brought that on herself. She'd been drinking.
You know, when hasn't she been drinking?
That's true.
I guess. We got, well, there's, you know, there's all sorts of interactions with Trish throughout the course of the episode. And, you know, once they start talking about Jessica's mother, that's when she realizes, like, all right, I got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. I don't need a reminder of that. Malcolm has a good one-liner that I took down directed at Trish. You look one meltdown away from a psych ward. And I was like, oh, I thought you looked better. Because I thought you looked crazy in season two. Because mm-hmm. she was, like, doing the whatever that inhaler was and her mm-hmm. eyes were all crazy. But I'm like, she looks fine.
I think she still has crazy eyes.
She does.
Yeah. All right. So clearly I have a soft spot for crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And then we get to the sort of the main focus that we saw at the end of episode one, which is this sculpture, which I guess the name she gives at the end, Andrew Brandt. He basically had somebody beat up his half-sister so he could get the sculpture, like the one thing he didn't get in the inheritance. You know, again, more rich people behaving badly.
So Jessica gets the name because she thinks this is the guy that stabbed her, which I think we can all agree is definitely not that guy. It has nothing to do with that guy whatsoever.
I am inclined to agree that it has absolutely nothing. You know, her being stabbed is, you know, I don't think that guy's got it, you know, that well coordinated mm-hmm. to have that sort of thing. So we see that she's pretty much got it figured out. I do think she needed Jessica to save her in that moment, though. Mm-hmm. She's very mad about it, but especially seeing it again for the second time in this episode. Adam, do you think that we would have had to test out whether or not Hellcat is bulletproof?
No, I don't know. I feel like Hellcat would have been okay just based on the phone thing. I feel like it's that kind of thing where her instincts will serve her really well in that moment where maybe she'll pick up on the click and just move in the right time. I think she's still coming into her powers. But I think she would have been okay if Jessica had not jumped in. Because Jessica has no idea that this woman's enhanced.
Mm-hmm. That's true. At that point, she doesn't know. What do you think, April? Do you think?
I don't think so. She was just standing in the middle of the living room. He had a gun on her. I don't think she would have made it out.
That guy would have had to be a really bad shot. Which, by the way, in most shows, everyone's a bad shot. Yeah,
except
for Frank Castle. Everybody else is a bad shot.
Yeah, Frank Castle's a good shot.
He is a good shot.
Miss that guy.
Yeah, he shoots a lot of stuff.
Frank would have gotten Trish and Jessica before she landed. So
I gotta say, also never been a huge fan of the Punisher, but I really like that Netflix Punisher, man.
Netflix Punisher's great.
That was the best version of that character period to me.
Not the Dolph Lundgren 1987 version.
You know, you remember that was a time when that was as close as we got.
Yes.
That's what we got. We got that. We're the most Marvel you got was maybe the little bit of one of the Punisher's skulls on the back of a knife that he threw.
That was about it.
That was it. They couldn't even put the freaking symbol on his shirt.
Yes, we have.
We've come a long way.
We have come a long way, baby. I understand, you know, Trish being upset, but I don't know. I really think that she needs Jessica, and she spends the whole episode basically saying that she's, you know, this email that she's writing, which unfortunately she deletes most of it, which, hey, that ties into what I did right before our first episode. And then so Jessica only reads that little snippet. Not, you know, I don't know how differently she would have reacted, but April, do you think if she had read the sort of more impassioned plea of, you know, hey, I know you don't do team ups, but, you know, this could be something. Do you think Jessica would have felt any differently if she'd read something like that?
Maybe if she read the first one
before
she deleted that one and then wrote all angrily.
I'm sorry. Let me be clear. I was talking about that before the angry part.
Yeah.
She writes down this impassioned plea and then deletes it to just write an angry email. It's like the opposite of what you're supposed to do.
F you,
right?
Jones. That's basically what it says. What do you think, Adam? Do you think that, you know, as tough as Jessica is, I mean, this is basically someone she considers her sister.
There's nothing like a sibling relationship. There is this thing with siblings and family. family and parents that when you are around them, you revert to your younger version of yourself, right? Like, I was just with my parents the other day. I'm like, I find myself doing habits and tics that were like indicative of my much younger self. So I think there's no way that Jessica would be able to see Trish, who she thinks of as, you know, her sister, but a brat, the star, all these things that she had to grow up with. Now she's going to start fighting crime with her, something that Jessica has been doing for a long time, or even investigating. It just seems so ludicrous. There's no way Jessica would want Trish involved in that. And it's crazy for Trish to want to be. Like, she does have crazy eyes.
Oh, I agree.
Sibling bonding.
It is definitely crazy that she wants this. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's like anybody who wants to have superpowers. It's not usually so you can fight crime, you know. It's more like, oh, yeah, because I want to fly. It's like, just imagine if I had X-ray vision, that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, I want to fight crime so, like, you know, somebody could see me fight crime and then they'll love me. Yeah, exactly.
I think that there's you know, a couple of gut punch moments for Trish. She's just... It's the title of the episode, a.k.a. You're Welcome. Mm-hmm. She just wants somebody to say thank you, and she finds herself saying you're welcome. I believe that she does say thank you to her mother at one point. She's saying thank you, but people, you know, aren't really saying thank you. And she thinks that Jessica calls her to the hospital because, you know, she needs her. She maybe has something to say, but as we already covered, Adam, she was only there because she's like, I know you know the name of the person that I'm interested in. Did you think that there was a chance that maybe it was a tender moment between the two of them that was building there?
Yeah, I thought that was going to be like an apology moment, like, yeah, I know it's important to me now kind of thing. No, in true Jessica fashion, she's she wants to get that bad guy. So I'm really excited right now to go watch more of these episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
To see what happens, to get into it. Did we want to talk about
Did you have a final thought on sort of Jessica and Trish's relationship as we leave it at the end of episode two, and maybe the future of it?
Yeah, I just really want to see how this new dynamic works with her being Hellcat.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them team up together, but... you don't seem to be a fan of that.
I think eventually it'll happen.
Uh-huh. They're going to have to. Yeah.
Hellcat will earn her respect eventually, but they're going to be at odds first, I'm predicting. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a full-on Jessica Hellcat brawl.
Yeah. Go ahead. Speaking of the future, yes, that brings us to something we wanted to talk about in our news and gossip / special segment here at the end. Go ahead. They didn't even used to have that. Look at that.
I love that little stinger.
So, obviously, this is the end of an era, and we don't know when we will be seeing these characters again, if ever. What are your thoughts?
So, the deal that Marvel Studios had with Netflix means that they can't use these characters for 2 years from the cancellation of the show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's specific dates. I guess Luke Cage was first, and then Iron Fist, and, you know, so it's not all lined up. But I think that means that it's going to be quite some time before we see them in any iteration. I think a lot of people were hopeful, they'll just turn up on Hulu,
right?
Which would be a much better fit than Disney Plus, which seems to be family oriented. Mm. I think if you have to gear these characters towards family oriented, then you shouldn't do the show. I guess my question is, if we have to wait that long, do you think that we're likely to see these characters again? I'll ask you first, Adam. Do you think we're likely to see them in episodic television, or might they try and do them on the big screen?
Well, I think Jessica Jones is very qualified, that character, for episodic. You even said on the last episode that she'd be good for more of a procedural format. I think you'd get more bang for the buck turning up in one of these, you know, like a Hulu or a Disney Plus, perhaps. I guess we have to remains to be seen how adult we're going to get with the content on Disney Plus, because is that going to be home to a lot of the Fox content as well? Like, where are they going to put all the Fox movies, like the Aliens and all their rated R stuff? So hopefully wherever they put that more mature content, there could be a room and a home and a future for more mature Marvel content. I know we'll see the Punisher again. Yeah. I know we'll see Daredevil again. That character can be a little bit softer and a little bit lighter. You can't really do the Punisher soft and light. I did want to add a little bit of a silver lining, though, to Jessica Jones. I think maybe they knew knew that this was the last season because, according to the series creator Melissa Rosenberg, unlike other canceled Marvel Netflix shows, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and The Punisher, Jessica Jones gets to finish its story in season 3, which means that fans will hopefully be satisfied by the ending. And then she goes on to say, "I feel like we've told a rich, intimate story about her and about all the characters in the show, so I feel complete. It feels complete to me. I really love where we land with her. It's a very satisfying place." And then Kristen Ritter adds that Melissa and I worked really hard to make what we were crafting an ending that was satisfying for both of us, and both of us also take responsibility to the audience, our fans. So seriously, people love Jessica, so yeah, I think we did it. I felt good about it. I feel really proud of it. And while Jessica Jones is no optimist, it sounds like she'd approve of her ending. So this story will be wrapped up, and that at least makes me excited to keep looking forward to these future episodes.
But April, in more of a general sense, do you think we're likely to see these characters, obviously recast, you know, different situations, all that? You think we're likely to see them in the movies than on television?
I think we'll still see them on television because I couldn't imagine a Jessica Jones or Luke Cage movie on its own. It's very ground level, and I think it works best as TV. But I'd also enjoy it as a movie if they decided to.
Right, but I think if you do a movie, then you start to do things like, okay, let's do Power Man and Iron Fist. Like,
sure.
Let's put the two of them together.
And don't forget, they're going to be having really big budgets on these Disney Plus things. Yeah, so you can do these kind of like made for streaming service movies, right? Mm-hmm. That are not small budgets, but also not huge budgets, because you don't need $100 million to make a good Jessica Jones movie.
Yeah, I think these characters will work better as episodic, but, you know, I mean, maybe somewhere out there in the cosmos, they feel like we deserve a good Daredevil movie.
Christian, it's also like the comic books themselves, right? Like, these comics all have different volumes, right?
Yeah.
You have a volume of a comic that goes from issue 1 to whenever it ends, then it comes back with a new creative team and a new take. And so just like we get new writers and artists on the comic books we love, so should the source material on which they are based go on to have new actors, writers, producers, and directors reinterpreting that material moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are some artists with wildly different interpretations of, say, just Spider-Man alone, you know, and we've had a lot of different actors play him already, so there's no reason that it might take a moment to get used to a new actor playing Daredevil or Punisher or any of those characters, but yeah, I think that's what we'll get at some point. But that's the end of our conversation for today, but keep an eye out for our next episode where we will talk more Jessica Jones. But until then, April, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at April13Dawn.
And Adam, where can people find you?
You can find me at Adam Gertler, and you can find all of my hot dogs and sausages at a doghouse restaurant near you.
There's one not far from here.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
that's true.
So they, you know, we can all go together. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And Thursday afternoons, Marvel Movie News is at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Popcorn Talk Network. Sundays at 9, Marvel TV Weekly. That's where you find those two shows and all over AfterBuzz TV. Anyway, that's all the time we have, but thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.